Philippians chapter 3, as we look at this passage, Paul is talking about looking to the future and making goals and plans. And there's a story of a man who lived many years ago, in 1909, actually, he was born. His name was Glenn Cunningham. And Glenn Cunningham was just 8 years old when he was severely burned in a fire. He and his brother were put in charge of lighting the school fire to warm the school in the middle of the wintertime. And someone had accidentally they would use kerosene to help to light the fire, and someone accidentally put petrol instead of kerosene. And when he poured it on the fire, the place exploded. And his brother was burned to death, and he was severely burned from his waist down, and his legs were so badly burned that the doctors told his mother that they were going to have to amputate, and his mother said, "No, you are not going to amputate his legs." And she insisted that the doctors not do that. Glenn, once he recovered from his, unconsciousness and that, and began pondering over what had taken place, he claimed a verse that his mom had taught him from Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And Glenn Cunningham determined from that day forward that he was going to walk again. The doctor said, "You'll never, ever walk again. Your legs are totally burned to shreds. You'll never walk again." But he was determined to claim God's word and to determine to gain the strength back in his legs. And after 2 years of painful therapy, stretching the muscles of his legs and working on his legs, Glenn finally took a first step. And he started to walk. And then he started to run. And he was determined he was going to run and prove the doctors wrong and to prove God right. And in 1934, Glenn Cunningham set a world record for the mile race. At that time, he broke the record and set a record that was ran the mile in 4 minutes and 6.8 seconds. In 1936, Glenn finished second in the World Olympics. His life is a testimony of his perseverance and his incredible faith in God against all odds. And just as Glenn Cunningham had a goal of living out his life's Bible verse and pressing on, so must we as Christians. Perhaps in an encouragement to others, the Apostle Paul decided to pen these words by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When he said in verses 13 and 14 of our text, Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul wrote, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, this past year has been a trying time for many of you. Some of you have lost your jobs. Others have lost relatives. Some have been weighed down by sickness and disease. Yet others have struggled with emotional and relational stress. For you, it's been a very difficult year. And with that in mind, I want us to turn our attention to Paul's testimony here as an encouragement, as he gives us three rules, or three duties, I should say, three duties that he gives us here for runners. As we look at this passage, he begins and he says, "Brethren, I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." And so as we look at this first goal that he has, this first duty that he has, it was to let go of the past. Let go of the past. You know, forgetting those things which are behind. Looking back is only distracting. You ask any athlete who is a runner if they look back when they're running, they do not look back. They look forward, because looking back will distract. I often see the young people at youth activities when they're running races, they'll turn to look, see what their competition's doing. And that always slows you down when you do that. And so Paul says, I'm not going to look back. I'm going to look forward. I'm going to forget those things that are behind. You know, God wants us to have a single focus in life. He wants us to have a goal. And as we look at this year to come, I challenge you to set goals for your life. Set goals that can help you to become what God wants you to be. Forgetting literally means no longer caring for the past. God's not saying you need to blot it out of your mind. That's impossible. We can't do that. But we can no longer care for it. We can stop caring for the past. We can stop thinking on it, stop focusing on it. We can focus on the future instead of on the past. You know, there's a need for us to stop focusing on those things that are behind. Just let the past go. Let it stay behind us, to stop fretting and stop worrying and stop feeling hopeless and discouraged. You know, you may look back on 2021 and say, it's been a very discouraging year. Maybe for you it's been a health issue. Maybe for you it's been an emotional trial. Maybe there's been work issues. Maybe the COVID has just made life miserable for you. Whatever the case may be, we need to stop looking back and we need to look forward instead of looking back. And often the devil will remind us of past failures. No matter how you have failed, if you have confessed your sin to God and forsaken it, God wants you to stop thinking about it. And that's easier said than done. You know, the devil constantly says, yeah, but remember what you just did. Remember what you did last week. Remember think about what happened. And those are the things that try to get us down. And the devil will use that to try to defeat us. And we need to just forget about those things and put them behind. Remember, we need to claim God's promise. What did he promise us there in Proverbs chapter 28:13? He said, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. God says, I'll give you mercy if you'll confess and forsake it. And so he says, we need to do that and claim God's promises. The burdens and sickness and emotions and problems of the past can be very real. And many times very painful. And there's no question about that. But focusing on them will paralyze us. Losses in the past can threaten to discourage us. On Sunday nights, we've been memorizing verses to help us in times of burdens and discouragement. One of those verses is 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, where David was the leader of an army, and his soldiers had gone off to battle, and they came back, and another army had attacked their city and burned the place and stolen all of their property and all of their family and take them captive. And he came back to all this, and the men were very discouraged. And it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stone in him, but because the soul of all the people was grieved, but every man for his sons and his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And so this can be a help to us. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And we need to do the same during times of loss. You know, even past successes can be a detriment to it. You know, there may be things that we've done in the past that can slow us down because we get proud over that. We think, wasn't I great? Didn't I do a good job in that? And those proud successes can hinder us. Pride is one of our worst enemies. Pride will harm our character. It'll make us an unpleasant person to be around. It'll rob us, most of all, of God's glory. The glory that God wants and deserves. We take it to ourselves because of pride. And actually what happens then is God said he works against us. For we read there in James 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We don't want God resisting us. We don't want God working against us. That's the last thing we need. We want God working for us, not working against us. And he says, if we're proud, he has no choice. And when we're tempted to remember the unpleasant events of the past, we need to immediately pray. We need to just say, God, I need your help. Help me to focus right. It's often more helpful to pray with a godly friend. And, you know, if you don't have a friend that you can sit down with and share your heart and open up and pray with them, I encourage you to, in this year, make it a goal to find someone that you can, that is a genuine, godly friend that can be a help and encouragement to you, and you can pray with them. That'll be a great help. If you're married and your spouse is a Christian, then their spouse ought to be that one. But if not, seek and ask God for someone you can pray with that can be a help and encouragement to you. You cannot change your past, but with God's help, you can overcome it. You know, there's not one thing that has happened in this past year that we can change, but we can overcome them with God's help. So the first duty there is to forget those things that are behind. Let go of the past. Second duty is to stretch forth to the future. Stretch out to the future. You know, reaching forth. Paul used the term here to, and it means to stretch outwards towards something. It's to reach to get something. It's as a runner, as he's taking those gigantic steps or pressing those feet forward, trying to get ahead, racing ahead, pushing ahead, and striving to go forward. You know, that it, as he's reaching out. And we need to stop being satisfied with being a basic Christian. You know, there's a great temptation to say, well, I'm a Christian and that's all that really matters. No, it's not all that really matters. That's only the beginning. God wants us to strive to for more. The Apostle Paul, if you read through this chapter, it's very interesting reading as he starts out there in the first part of the chapter and he lists off his credentials as a Hebrew scholar. He was brilliant. He was a Pharisee. He was a leader. He was and yet he said, all of those things I lay behind. I'm not hanging on those anymore. In fact, in verse number 8, he says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul said, I've lost everything. Now you think about the Apostle Paul. Just from what you read in Scripture, what can we assume from his life? We can assume, first of all, he had no home. He was a wanderer the rest of his life. From the time he came to Christ, he never settled down any place, never had a home. He didn't have any possessions except what he could carry on his back or carry with him in his bags on the ships and the things he was going. He had suffered immensely and lost much of his whatever he had. Even when he was traveling, he would lose things. When the ship would go down and he'd be out in the sea, he was cast into the sea off of the ships for two or three times there in his life. He went through a lot of hardships. He lost everything. And Paul said, even the things that I... You know, his credibility as a Pharisee, the Pharisees were lifted up and honored, and the people would see them, and they bow to them, and oh, the Pharisees were really highly lifted up. Paul said, I left all that behind too. He says, I've given away everything, and I counted all but dung. Now, the word dung there can either refer to animal manure or just the rubbish, but either way, it's worthless. And he says, I don't consider any of it of any value. I give it all away because I'm striving for the future. And he was reaching forth to those things. You know, we need to make it our passion to grow spiritually. What a blessing it would be if we would reach forth and say, this year, the year to come, 2022, I want it to be a year that I grow immensely as a Christian. Now, you could do that. You can make that your desire. You can make that your passion. And you need to strive for that. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. He said, grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. How much do you personally know about Jesus Christ? You know, we know who he is. We could name off, you know, the basic stories about Christ, the Sunday school stories, and we can name off, you know, some of the miracles that he did. But how much do we really know about him? We need to have a personal relationship with him, one that is growing and drawing closer to him. And Paul reached forth to those things that are before. Glenn Cunningham reached out to the future. He claimed that verse, and he says, God says that we can run if we have faith in him, and I'm going to run. And he was determined to do that, even though the doctor said, you'll never even walk again, let alone run. He says, I'm going to run. And he pushed on and pushed on and pushed on and worked at it until he became not just a runner, but an excelling runner. And God honored him and he blessed God for that. But you know, as a Christian, Paul had a passion to know Christ. We saw that in verse 8. We see it again in verse number 10, where he says there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and be made conformable unto his death. Right. Paul said, I want to know Christ intimately. And he had a passion and a goal. And God wants us to reach out toward a goal and set a goal for our future, even this year. Some goal that will help us to be what we want. You know, for you, it may be a basic goal. It may be just say, this year I'm going to read the Bible every single day. Maybe this past year you've read it some, but not faithfully. And you can say, in the year to come, I'm going to read the Bible faithfully. Every day I'm going to read the Bible. Great goal. It may be conquering over some sinful habit. You know, some habit that maybe no one knows but you. But you know it's there, and God knows it's there. And you say, this year I'm going to get the victory over that with God's help. We're going to have victory. And so you yield yourself to God, and if you'll do that, there's no habit that is unbreakable. If you'll yield to God, God can give you strength and grace. Perhaps your goal is to strive to bring your family members to Christ this year. Pray for them and live a godly example before them. That is a great goal. This year, to bring your family members to Jesus. Now, obviously, God's got to do the work in their heart, but you can pray earnestly to that end and work diligently and live a godly example before them. Your goal may be to fulfill your God-given roles as a spouse, as a husband, to lead lovingly, and as a wife, to respect submissively. Those are God-given goals and roles that we have for marriage, and we find them explained there in Ephesians 5. But I challenge you to make that your goal if that's not been taking place in your home. And it's a challenge to each of us to be more faithful in those areas. Perhaps your goal is to follow the Lord in baptism or join the church or get involved in some way. Set those goals. Don't let them just push aside, but focus on those. And then stretch out yourself to set those spiritual goals and to desire to have God's help to fulfill the goals that He has for you. And so I challenge you to do as Paul did. Stretch out toward the future. He says, reaching forth to those things which are before, those things that are ahead of us. We need to reach out to them. But then, lastly, he says, their third duty was found in verse number 14. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, we need to keep running toward the goal. So once we've turned our back on the past and we've put our focus on the future, then he says we need to run toward that goal. Run toward that goal. Keep running toward it. Focus our eyes on that goal. I remember as a child, my dad taught us, my brother and I, to drive the tractor when we were very young. We were driving the tractor, you know, when we were 7 or 8 years old, and we were out in the fields pulling the implements across the field to try to cultivate the fields and things of that nature. But one of the things Dad taught us when we were plowing was something where you had to be careful. You had to be accurate. And Dad said, when you start out in the center, you measure over and find the center of the field. And when you drop the plow down, you look at something on the opposite end of the field and you keep your eye on that. You don't look around. You just stare at that spot the whole time while you're pulling that first row across. You get a nice straight row across the field. Got to keep your eye on the other end, on the goal. And the same thing is true with an athlete. They keep their eye on the goal. And in ancient days, in Paul's time, they would strive for a goal. And one of the things that they would gain is a crown made of olive leaves. And I'm sure theirs looked a lot better than mine here today. Mine's a bit tattery. But to give us an idea of the type of a thing that they were striving for. Not much value in that. Just a branch. But it was an honor for the winner to run and to win that crown and to be able to wear that garland of olive leaves around their head. And they would strive to that end. And so Paul longed for the prize. And he was striving to earn that prize. Now, Paul was not trying to earn heaven. You can't earn heaven. Right, it's not a matter of I'm going to work hard and maybe I can get in. No, you can't get in that way. The only way to get in is through faith in Christ. But he was striving to bring glory to God and to earn the crowns that God promises Christians. Crowns for character and for service. And he was not competing with others. You know, that is a wonderful thing. None of you are competing with me. You're not competing with each other. You're only competing with yourself and your sinful flesh. And every one of us can be a winner. Every one of us can stand before God and have God say, you did a good job. Well done. God knows your capabilities. God knows your how much you are able to do. And God has a goal for you. And if you will strive for that goal, God can give you strength and victory. And he will give you a crown for being fruitful and successful in that. And a wonderful thing, you know, every one of us desires, you ought to desire anyway, to hear God say, well done. None of us want to hear God's rebuke. Earning a crown is not for our glory, but for the Lord's glory, that he might be glorified by our lives. Now, I can imagine how terrible it would be to stand before God and hear God say to us, welcome, welcome to heaven. I have a place prepared for you, but I have no reward. You did not earn the incorruptible crown, as you did not bring your body into subjection. Instead, you polluted your body with nicotine and alcohol and filled your thoughts with porn. I have no crown of rejoicing for you. You have not witnessed for me. You did not earn the crown of righteousness as you lived for yourself rather than looking for my coming. I cannot crown you with a crown of life. You complained instead of enduring trials cheerfully. Neither do I have a crown of glory for you. You did not minister and serve others. I have a place for you, but no reward. Now, folks, not a one of us here this morning that know Christ our Savior want to hear those kind of words from the Lord. We do not want him to say, sorry, I got a place for you, but no reward. We all want to hear him say, well done. And we can strive to that end. But it's going to take work. Just like an athlete, Glenn Cunningham, he did not become what he did as a runner by sitting back saying, I sure wish I could run. That would be great. I'd like that. No, he made it his passion. He made it his goal. He made it his ambition. He put his heart into it. He endured the pain and the struggling and the suffering in order to be able to succeed. And so it is as a Christian. We're going to have to put some effort into it if we're going to be able to succeed in the race that God has set before us. And so my challenge to us is that we would keep running swiftly toward the goal. As Paul said here, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Run swiftly toward that. The idea of pressing toward it and actually running to catch something, running fast to get it, and striving to get it. The prize is not an earthly reward, it's the high calling of God. A calling that God has for us, and it's something that God has set for us, and he's saying here, this is to please God, it is not to get a reward or a pat on the back here in this life, but it's to bring glory to God. And Christians have a calling from Christ Jesus to live for God's glory. And God assures us that if we will he will reward us if we will live for his glory. Remember what he said there in 1 Corinthians 15:58? He says there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. It's not going to be empty and worthless. It's got a purpose behind it. God will meet the need. And then he also tells us in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 14, he said, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. God is going to reward. And we want to be able to have him give us reward, not for our glory and our pride, but that we might be able to give it back to him. The book of Revelation speaks of the believers casting their crowns at his feet. How shameful it will be to stand before him and have no crown to cast at his feet. We want to strive to live for him now, and now is the time. And so this year to come, we're just a couple of days, we're going to start the new year, and as we do, we need to set some goals, and we need to stop looking at the past, forget those things that are defeating and discouraging and frustrating about the past, whether it be the past in this year or maybe past beyond that, but we need to set those things aside, set some goals, and then run toward that end. Run swiftly toward those goals to be able to reach the goals that God has for you. You know, we need to stop allowing those failures and burdens and emotions and sickness and losses and successes hinder us. Don't let that do that. But instead, those goals, maybe it's a goal for reading your Bible or getting over the habit or witnessing or fulfilling your roles as a spouse or getting baptized or membership or something else, or maybe there's some other goal. God speaks to your heart and says, this is what I want for you. That's the goal I want. I want you to strive for that. Then do so and let God have his way in your life and run for that prize and strive to get the crown that God has for you. Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I believe it. All the evidence seems to point to the fact that our world is getting so corrupt and so wicked and so vile. How can Christ continue to put off his coming? I don't know. He may. But he may come back this week. This year, he may come back this week. He may come back today. We need to be ready. And I trust that God will use this word in your heart, help you to set some goals for the year to come, and strive with God's help to fulfill those goals. And don't be satisfied as an average Christian. Let's grow in our faith for the Lord Jesus Christ.